President Trump is having his first Oval Office meeting today with Hungary's far-right Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Is this another sign of President Trump's affection for strong-arm leaders? Steve Bannon says Orban was Trump before there was a Trump. Or is this the U.S. dangling a carrot to lead Orban down a more democratic path? Orban has whipped up anti-immigration hatred by demonizing migrants. He's rewritten the country's constitution, eliminating checks and balances, stacked the courts, taken over independent media. John Shattuck is a senior fellow at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School. He's also former president of the Central European University. This is the school George Soros founded to champion democracy in Hungary after the collapse of the occupying Soviet Union. Orban has now forced that school out of the country. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be with you.
Well, and you're not the only one saying that Trump's meeting today is an embrace of an autocrat. Mr. Trump's own ambassador to Hungary, David Kornstein, said in The Atlantic last week, "I can tell you, knowing President Trump for a good 25 to 30 years, he would love to have the situation Viktor Orban has, but he doesn't," and meaning, of course, the power that he has in his own country. But Orban's been asking for this meeting for a while. The Times has quoted a former Hungarian ambassador to the U.S. saying, "This is actually an embarrassment to Orban that it took so long."
Well, I think that's true. There's no surprise here that the meeting is taking place because I think Trump and Orban have a lot in common. But it's certainly true that for quite some time now, Mr. Orban has wondered why he wasn't being invited to the White House. I think there are a lot of other people, particularly at other levels of the State Department and elsewhere, who have reservations about bringing him because Orban represents not only an attack on democracy, as you've described, and we can go into that in more detail, but also he's something of a threat to transatlantic security because he spent quite a bit of time engaging further with Russia. He's been frustrating the efforts on the part of NATO to deal more constructively with Ukraine. He's refused to allow suspected Russian arms dealers to be dealt with by the U.S. So the fact is that Orban is definitely a threat both to democracy and to transatlantic security. And there are many outside of the White House who have seen it that way.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you mentioned these arms dealers. When found, Orban had them sent to Russia instead of to the U.S. as the U.S. required to be tried here. And you talk about the concerns about him, maybe some in Washington wanting to keep him at arm's length. A group of senators, including Republicans, wrote the president on Friday and said, "Hungary is spiraling out of a democracy." But could this be the U.S. trying to counter influence from Russia and China in Hungary? Could, you know, this be a move on the part of Trump and others in the White House to maybe course correct?
Well, that's a position that a number of people have articulated, but I think it's wishful thinking because I think that Orban is so far along on his down the road toward being an authoritarian without any real checks and balances or limitations on the power that he's asserting inside his own country. As you say, he's basically sidetracked and taken over the independent media. He's basically undermined the independence of the judiciary. He's attacked civil society. And he's also been very harsh on universities, and the Central European University, which I headed until 2016, is the first university in Europe to be forced out of a European country since the 1930s.
Well, so, and I should say this is something the Trump administration, as much as they might have people in the Republican Party and in the Trump White House might rail against George Soros, the Democratic philanthropist who founded this school after the fall of the Soviet Union. He's a Hungarian-American. To pursue democratic ideals in a country where he didn't grow up with them, as much as the Trump might be against George Soros, the administration very much wanted that school to stay, and Orban still forced it out.
Yes, that's right. Well, certainly the efforts were made by the State Department to try to mediate and prevent the university from being forced out of the country. But my concern is that President Trump really sees Orban as a soulmate. They have certainly an agenda that's primarily an economic agenda involving oil and gas. But I doubt that the president is going to do more than embrace this authoritarian leader. And the result of that is going to be that Orban will now campaigned for the European parliamentary elections, flaunting his meeting endorsement by President Trump and fueling the Eurosceptic voters who are trying to take apart the European Union. So it's a very dangerous moment, I think, at least vis-a-vis U.S.-Hungary relations.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about what Orbán calls his illiberal democracy, what he's trying to create there. People might remember when there were huge protests in Hungary because there was a new labor law that allowed employers, and you write about this, allow employers to compel overtime to make up for a labor shortage that was created by over a million young Hungarians leaving because of Orbán's rule. And then they had, you know, they don't have the immigrant force that they need because of his hard stance on migration. So it resulted in this law compelling overtime. I mean, talk a little bit more about some of the sharper things. I mean, we hear about how he is taking over different aspects of society, but give us some sharper details on that.
Well, essentially what the model is, and he's called it, he's given it his own name, illiberal democracy. It's that you use a democratic election to take down the checks and balances of democratic institutions, to tear apart, which is what's happened, the independent media by taking it over through regulation or through government takeover. So there are many aspects of it. The one that you mentioned, particularly the effort to impose overtime requirements in order to make up for the labor loss, is an indication to some extent of the potential weakness of this model that that Orbán is pursuing. But it's certainly a result of the pressure that many people have felt to leave the country because they can't compete for jobs with others who are left in the country and who are who may be favorites of the government.
Well, Professor Shattuck, I'm wondering, and I want to say this delicately, is there maybe something now embedded in the Hungarian people that makes them maybe more susceptible to this kind of an autocratic leader? They have been under many thumbs, behind the Iron Curtain when it was lowered by the Soviet Union, then the Berlin Wall fell, communism fell, Hungary joined NATO, the European Union. Orbán himself was once a centrist against Russia. Is there some gravitational pull, or what happened here?
Well, I think it's certainly true that Hungarians have been besieged for centuries, and they've had very little experience with democracy, in fact, none. And they are understandably very sensitive to outside pressures in that regard. But I think what Orbán has done here is it goes way beyond anything that is relating to the susceptibility of Hungarians to this kind of governance.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward language. We don't mean within the soul of the people themselves. But how is, continue, how is he ruling that plugs into something?
Well, he uses all kinds of propaganda and misrepresentation relating to perceived threats from outside, especially in the first, he's really had two targets in the recent elections, one of the migrants, and then most recently, he's used George Soros as a target and others with broad indications of anti-Semitism, and some of the nature of the attacks are really quite remarkable language that's been used in ways where...
Well, you write that this populist nationalist fear, helping Prime Minister Orbán, you believe maybe also helping President Trump, is a reaction to the excesses of globalization and the elite promoting it, that there are communities in Europe where people feel left behind, as they do here. And so there's a cautionary tale here going forward about somehow trying to bridge that divide.
Yes, I think that's a very important point. And so it's really incumbent, I think, upon those who want to stand up for democracy to find ways of building coalitions across political divides and really attacking issues like growing inequality, which is a major issue in the United States and in Europe, certainly in Hungary, as well as finding ways of providing economic fairness for more and more people. So, there's a real agenda here to respond to the Orbáns and the Donald Trumps of the world.
That's John Shattuck, senior fellow at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard's Kennedy School, also former president of the Central European University, which was in Hungary and has been forced out. It's on its way to Vienna. Professor Shattuck, thank you.
Thank you very much.